Can You Believe It? That's the series we are in, this Advent series, going through truths about the incarnate Son of God born to us at Christmas time. Going through the truths that are non-negotiable about the incarnate Son of God and asking the question, can we believe it? We are all familiar with law. The law exists in our world, and we are familiar with how the law works and how the law is enforced. I'm sure AJ's much more familiar with it than I am, you working in that field most of your life. But we have a law, and we're all familiar with it, aren't we? And here's a basic definition of what the law is. As Webster's Dictionary says, the law, a system of rules which a particular country or community recognizes as regulating the actions of its members, and which it may enforce by the imposition of penalties. So two things, it's a list of governing rules, and it can be, the law says that there can be penalties if it's not enforced or if it's not followed, all right? And we experience that in our world, so whether it be traffic violations or this, that, or the other thing, there are laws in our world, and those are good things. We're human beings, are not always perfect laws, I suppose, but we have laws governing our cities, our communities, our nations, and our states. And here's what we see in the Bible. Here's what we see at Christmas time. We see, even though we're familiar with law, even though we're familiar with that system of rules and also the system of penalties and consequences out in our world, we see as Christians, and we acknowledge, and it is indeed true, whether you like it or not, that we interact with law on earth. That is true, but that there is a higher law, and there is a higher authority. There's a higher law, and there's a higher authority. As Psalm 19, 7 through 8 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Saying again, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. His ways are perfect. His rules for how things ought to go are perfect. His authority is perfect, and the way he enforces the authority is perfect. His way of dealing out punishment is perfect. We might not always like it, we might not always jive with our culture, but his way and his law and his authority is perfect. Then we come in the picture, don't we? This problem called sin, this disease in our heart which causes rebellion against a good and holy God, this disease in our heart where we look at a good and perfect God and a good and perfect law and we're not able to follow it. We choose to rebel. We choose to go our own way, and we all like sheep go astray. We all like sheep reject the Lord's way. We all like sheep reject his law. And so because of sin, when the fall happened, when sin came into the world, Galatians 3:19 says the law was added due to transgressions. The law was added to show where mankind was wrong and not in step. The law was added to show where they had transgressed and went on away from the Lord. And there has been no one since that has been able to meet the law's demands, because here's the deal, the law of the Lord is perfect. It is good. So good. I mean, let's park here just for a second. I don't think we always, or I think we oftentimes, don't get how good and perfect and holy God's ways are. We can look at ourselves, or we can look at someone else, and we can call that good. We do that all the time. We can gather together, and we can call something good that might not necessarily be good, but the Lord's ways are incomprehensibly good. Incomprehensibly loving, incomprehensibly just and holy and true. That's the God we serve. And then we come in the picture, and we don't measure up at all. The story of the Bible is the law is given here in the beginning when sin was entered into the picture, the agreement was that they would follow. And time again in the Old Testament, the people of Israel, that's who received the law in the under the Old Covenant before Jesus came. And they continually transgressed. They continually needed priests to speak on the behalf of them to God. They continually needed mediators like Moses, for example, to intercede on the behalf of the people. And all this points forward to a reality that needed to be solved permanently, because even though the law of God is perfect, man transgressed and has done so ever since the fall, has done ever since the rebellion that Adam and Eve had against God. And so here, what does that have to do with us? What does that have to do with the Christmas season? What does that have to do with us here in 2021? The law is going to show us, it shows us more than two things, but it does show us at least two things. It shows man's transgressions and sin. It shows us, here's where you've fallen short on this. Here's where you're falling short on this. Here's the Lord's ways in this. Here's the Lord's way in that. And it shows where we transgress. And it also shows God's holiness. It shows how good and perfect he is. When you read those confusing texts in the Old Testament, for example, that have to do with ceremonial cleanliness or have to do with animal sacrifices, it shows how clean and holy God is, and it shows the price that has to be paid in order to be in his presence. Because sin is a costly thing. There is a price that needs to be paid. And that's why you see all this blood and gore in the Old Testament, because the holiness of God is a big deal. Let's not minimize it into this package, this man-made package that we so oftentimes do, whether it be in the church or the world. We cannot box the holiness of God up in a box. We cannot box the holiness of God in our own way. We cannot make it into our own fashion. No, he is good and holy, and it transcends us and our understanding. So the law shows us at least two things. It shows us our transgression and sin. It shows God's holiness. And so here today, whether it be the people in the story here, whether it be the people who are around Jesus, whether it be people here today, we have wrong ways of looking at the law of God. We have wrong ways of looking at the law of God. One or two things are going to happen here. One or two things is going to happen here. We're going to either go to lawlessness, where we throw out law. We say, we don't need it. I'm throwing off all restraints. I'm going my own way. I'm riding my own way to life. I'm going to follow my own law or someone else's own law. And I'm just going to throw off the law of God. And I'm going to live in lawlessness. And I'm going to live to my own terms, whether that be pleasure, whether that be focusing on my career and my success, or whether that be even focusing on good things like my family. Either one of those, if we look away to the law and say we don't need God's good authority, it's lawlessness. And then the other extreme is legalism. So legalism says that it really diminishes the holiness of God at the end of the day. It either diminishes the holiness of God, or it pumps up your own holiness. One of the two, or both. Are you tracking with me there? It either diminishes the holiness of God, or it pumps your holiness way out of proportion. Because it's basically saying, I can circumvent God's intervention in Jesus. I can look to this law. I can follow it good enough to where I will measure up. And I can preach this gospel to other people to get them to get in line good enough. So it either diminishes God's holiness or pumps the people up too much. Alistair Begg has this to say about the law. Alistair Begg says the believer, on the other hand, it's not lawlessness and it's not legalism. The law has a place, but Alistair Begg is saying the believer gives up looking to the law for justification or sanctification. So those two big words is justification means being made right with God. Sanctification means becoming more like Christ. The believer gives up looking to the law only for those two things. It does have a place, we don't throw it out, but when it comes to our standing before a holy God, the law, we don't look to it only for our justification, and we don't look to it for our source of power becoming more Christ-like. And so this Christmas, what does it have to do with Christmas? We need to realize that the problem is that the law is good and holy and God is good and holy, and without intervention, we are left either to lawlessness or legalism. We need to realize what it means that Jesus was born under the law this Christmas. The world needs to realize what it means that Jesus was born under the law this Christmas. And so what we're going to see today in the text is that Christ came to be born under the law, to forever change our relationship to the law, so let's serve in the new way of the Spirit. And two things here today from this text. Number one, deal with the law yourself and watch your works go straight to hell. Number two, let Christ deal with the law and watch your works flourish through the Spirit. Two ways today, two options. Here's number one. I say again, deal with the law yourself and watch your works go straight to hell. I know this is a pointed point here, but I bring this up because it's serious. I bring this up to say that eternal, conscious separation from a good and holy God in hell is very real. It's absolutely real. The Bible teaches it. And how you end up there is if you don't measure up, if you're not born again to a living hope, if you're not holy as He is holy. He says we must be holy as He is holy, and that's only through Jesus. And so if we look to the law ourselves, we watch our works, and we watch the works of those who we preach this gospel to go straight to hell. The songwriter Billy Joel has, or the song singer, whatever that might be, has this to say. You might have heard this song before. It says, we didn't start the fire. No, we didn't light it, but we tried to fight it. So it is with those who insist on law apart from Christ. There's this fire in our world around us. We see that. And it's easy for us sometimes to sit back and say the world is going to hell in a handbasket. It's on fire, there's sin, and that's all true, right? And here's the irony of that. If we, in our judgment, we set ourselves apart from the world based on our own works, we look to ourselves like, I'm doing pretty good at following the law, but the world is not. It's going to hell in a handbasket. If we go out and preach the gospel of you need to do this, this, and this, and this, and we totally neglect to talk about Christ at all, we are adding to that fire. We are trying to fight it, as this song says, but it's making it worse. Our own ways, apart from Christ, of trying to fight this fire, this problem of evil and brokenness in our world, we can be so arrogant to say, I didn't light it, but I tried to fight it. If we go out and try to fight in our own terms, we're really just pouring lighter fluid on the fire, and we might be too arrogant to realize that we're doing it. If we deal with the law ourselves, we will not earn the inheritance promised to us by faith. If you're following along with me, I'm in Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 here. And here's what Paul is saying. Let's look at, see what the text says here in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 4 of Galatians. Paul is saying, I mean that an heir, that is a beneficiary, that is an heir as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he's the owner of everything, but is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. We ask, what does that mean? This is important to get here. So Paul is painting a picture here. He's talking about a child. So we are familiar with this. We might be in a family. So for example, my dad, my grandmother had a farm, and when she passed away, the inheritance, or the farm, that is, went to the sons. They earned their inheritance when my grandmother passed away. And this is what Paul's talking about. So the heir, even though they're a child, they are but a child. They are not the heir until that date comes where they earn their inheritance. You're tracking with me. They remain children. They remain under a sort of supervision. They remain under a sort of guardian until the date comes where they have their inheritance realized. And whether that was Roman or Semitic or Jewish or what, this commentator is unsure, but what can be sure of is this, that the children are simply that in their identity regarding the inheritance. They are children to that promise. They have not realized it yet. They are to be heirs, but they haven't received their inheritance yet. Are you tracking with me on that? But the promise is they wait to the date set by the father, whether that is death, or whether that is the date that the father decides you are mature enough to get the inheritance, whatever that might be. You have to wait for that date. And looking up in Galatians 23, how does this apply to the law? It's saying this. Paul says earlier, now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came in order that we might be justified. So if we insist on the law on our own, we won't inherit the inheritance promised to us. Because Paul is comparing that before we are in Christ, it's verse 3 here if you're following me along. It says, in the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. And so here's the deal. When you're under law, the law is a good thing. You are enslaved to the elementary principles of the world if you don't have an external faith in God. You are enslaved to that sin which the law rightly points out in you. You, as Paul says, are under that guardian until Christ comes. Paul says, in the same way, we also, he's talking about Israel, he's talking about before Jesus has come. That's the hope of Advent, that Jesus comes in the flesh to set Israel free because they were unable to follow the law. It wasn't that the law was bad. That's not what I'm saying at all in this message. But as Paul's saying here, it goes back and forth, but Paul's saying, hey, it was their guardian. It was their way to keep them from sin, to point them in the right direction. They are constantly not following that way. And so Jesus came to be born of a woman, to be born under law for us. That's the same way. If in our context, it means this. If you're wondering, what does that mean for me here? It means that there is still the same law. It is fulfilled in Jesus. So we go from an old covenant, an old agreement with agreeing with God, to a new covenant, a new way of interacting with him, but the same as this, he has a law, he has a standard, and until we accept Christ Jesus in faith, until we accept for what he's done for us on the cross, we remain under that guardian, we remain under the law, and we remain enslaved to the elementary principles of the world because we will never, ever, ever measure up apart from Christ. That's the deal. That's what I'm trying to say. And that's what Paul indeed is saying. If we deal with the law ourselves, we will remain enslaved in sin and the consequences of sin. See, sin has consequences. If we are enslaved to the elementary principles of the world, what is the end of that? The end of that is an eternity in hell. The prognosis of that is an eternity separated from God. Prognosis of that is being forever condemned in the sin and the bad things we do if we are under the law and under the guardian. So if we deal with the law ourselves, we will absolutely miss the substance and salvation of Christ. If we deal with the law ourselves and throw off Christ, we will absolutely lose the substance of Christ. Christmas won't mean anything to us if we are under law. Christmas won't mean anything to us if we reject Jesus and what he's done, and we look to the law and say, I've got this on my own. I can do the Ten Commandments really good. We will totally miss the Christmas message, and it won't mean absolutely anything to us at all. Verse 4, here's the deal. When the fullness of time had come, the fullness of time means the right time has come for Christ to come. It was a dark time. People were stuck in their sins. It was the right time for the nation of Israel to hear because they were under that guardian, that law that was pointing them in the right direction, but they weren't able to go the right direction. Mind you, they were still justified by faith, as Paul says, but Christ comes. Because it's the fullness of time, it's the right time for Jesus to come. And I can assure you, 2021 is the right time for Jesus to be in our church. It's the right time for Jesus to be preached in our community. It's the fullness of time right now, too. And Christ is the fullness of God sent forth by God, born of woman, born under the law. And if we deal with the law ourselves, our works go straight to hell, and we absolutely miss the substance and salvation of Christ. And so what does that mean for us if we preach the law without Christ, whether it be to ourselves? So if you wake up the next morning and say, I'm going to preach law to myself and not mention Christ to myself, or I go out in the community and I preach law without preaching Christ, we will crush ourselves and we will crush other people. If we go out saying things like giving out rules, we maybe give out right rules from God's law, or maybe our man-made rules, but if we go out into the community and we say, well, you need to have this certain behavior, then you can come to God. Or you need to stop this. You need to not do this. You need to dress this way. You need to behave in church this way. You need to come to these church services. You need to behave a certain way. You need to not do this anymore. Those are good things to say, But what oftentimes happens, we say these things, whether it be you need to vote this way, or you need to not get any more tattoos, or you need to do this X, Y, Z. It could be good things, could be bad things, but we fail to mention Jesus, and we crush people in their sin, and they remain enslaved to the law. Do you catch that? If we tell people do's and don'ts and we fail to mention Jesus Christ and the salvation that comes through him, they are left to the same elementary principles. They are left to say, well, I guess it's up to me to deal with the law, and so I will try my darndest to do so. And that absolutely crushes people. That absolutely, like yourself, will send your work straight to hell because they will never measure up. Matthew 23:15 says, Jesus says to this about Pharisees here, those people who trusted in the law for their own justification, their own being made right with God. Jesus says this, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel across sea and land to make a single convert, and when he becomes a convert, you make him twice the child of hell as yourself. Twice the child of hell as yourself. So if we go out preaching law without Christ, we're making people out in our community twice the child of hell that we are. It's a serious thing, and we can't do that. It's harmful for us, harmful for our community. That's not what Christmas is about whatsoever. And so recognize this, deal with the law yourself, watch your works go straight to hell. And number two, the hopeful part here, let Christ deal with the law, and watch your works, the things that you do, flourish through the Spirit this Christmas, after Christmas, and beyond. Because Christ was a perfect substitute by fulfilling the law and enduring the curse of the law, we can absolutely flourish as adopted sons and daughters. And that's the good news. Because he was sent of woman, because he was born under the law, because he was able to redeem those under the law, because we were able to receive adoption because of what Christ did and what he came to do, we can flourish. We can flourish. Robert Keith Rapa, a theologian, asks us to say about this. He says, Jesus lived his life as a Jewish human being, representatively fulfilling the righteous requirements of the law and bearing the law's curse in his death, and in his person and work ushering a new relational identity and dynamic for God's people. Here's what he's saying here. Jesus coming, being born under law, changes everything with how we relate to God. Think about this. What did it mean that Jesus Christ was born of woman and born under the law? He was born under a perfect rule and a perfect guidelines. He was able to perfectly fulfill it. He was able to perfectly obey the law. It's kind of a both and there. And he was able, even though that he perfectly fulfilled the law, even though he perfectly followed it, and even though there was never any trace or sin or stain of sin, even though he came humbly to serve us, even though he came humbly to save us from our sins, ultimately he went to the cross, and like Robert Keith is saying, he bore the law's curse in his death. He bore the law's punishment in his death. You can look to Deuteronomy 28 for that. There are curses for not following the law. There's punishment for not following the law. And it's good punishment. It's not bad of God to do that. He's just. And he's also loving enough to say, hey, even though I perfectly fulfilled the law of God on these people's behalf, even though I perfectly followed and obeyed, I was born under it, and I eventually bore the curse of the law. The punishment of the law, because sin must be punished. Wow, does that change our standing before God, brothers and sisters? You see the difference? Let Christ deal with the law. Let Christ fulfill the law. Let Christ be born under the law. Let him redeem you from under the law. Look at the Christmas message and accept what can be yours this Christmas. Accept what Jesus came to do. And because we can be God's sons and daughters by grace through faith, we can receive the down payment of our inheritance this Christmas and beyond. Because you are sons, God has sent his Spirit into our lives, crying, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. What it's saying here is faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ. Trust in Jesus Christ. Trust in his work, letting yourself be redeemed, bought from under sin. We receive his Spirit. We receive that Spirit that is pointing us to Jesus right now. We receive that Spirit that's pointing us to the Christmas message right now. We receive that Spirit that empowers us for good works right now. We receive that Spirit that we are able to call out, Father God, right now. We receive that Spirit that is the only way that we could ever see the Christmas message as beautiful. If you're seeing this Christmas message as beautiful this morning, whether it's songs or whether it be through the Word, it's not because of any human being here, it is because of God's Spirit. It's the only way we can recognize Him as Abba, Father. It's the only way we can cry out to Him as Abba, Father. And because we can receive the Spirit by grace through faith, we can serve in the new way of the Spirit. We can live a life to God in the new way of the Spirit. As Paul says, it's not in the old way of the written code. It's not that external thing that we are trying internally to follow, but is in the new way of the Spirit that the law is written on our hearts by grace through faith, and we follow that way because at Christmas time, Jesus Christ was born under the law. Romans 7:6. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit, not in the old way of the written code. Serve not of external power, but of internal power you have. Are you following the significance of this morning? You sense how holy God is, how perfect His law is, how weighty it is this morning, how weighty it is that He was born under law and willing to perfectly fulfill it on our behalf. The law still stands today, and the condemnation thereof if we're apart from Christ. Do you sense the weightiness that He was willing to endure the punishment that the law calls for, even though He was perfect? Do you sense the weightiness of this baby Jesus? He knew He was born under the law, and He knew that one day He would drink the cup of wrath that was supposed to be for us, our lawbreakers. We're all lawbreakers here today, and apart from Christ, we deserve punishment because He's a good and holy God, and in our sin, we're evil in comparison. And do you get, brothers and sisters, that Christ came to be born under the law to forever change our relationship to the law? It's not that law goes out the window, but it's that we serve in the new way of the Spirit. It's that we look to the indwelling power we have through the Holy Spirit. And that takes faith, that takes belief that God is actually alive, that takes faith that He actually came as a baby boy at Christmas time, that actually takes faith that He was born under the law, that actually takes faith that He is able to do that which we can't do. It takes faith that He was actually able to do and accomplish everything on the cross on our behalf. It takes that faith and that realization to come to this. It takes a God that is alive, and it takes faith, faith, faith. It takes us knowing that we have internal power to follow. It takes faith that we have the indwelling Holy Spirit crying, Abba, Father, because we place our faith in Jesus. And how does that work, you wonder? Remember, the Spirit proceeds from Jesus. You look to Jesus, and we have faith in Him. We receive His Spirit. And the Spirit points us to Jesus, and Jesus glorifies the Father. And the Father says, this is my Son who I'm well pleased with. And then we have the Spirit pointing back to Jesus, and we are in perfect union with God. All because He was born to us. So as we go out from this place today, as we go out this Christmas season, what's it going to be? Are you going to deal with the law yourself? Are you going to go out and see how you don't measure up? And you're going to say, well, self-improvement projects are going to fix that problem, and just me bearing down on X, Y, or Z is going to fix that problem? Are you going to deal with the law yourself? And more problematically, are you going to go out from here and preach a message that salvation is by law? And as Jesus says, turn people into twice the child of hell that you would be if you preach this message that is anti-Jesus? Or will you humble yourself this Christmas? Will you humble yourself in saying, man, the law is good, the law is perfect, The holiness of God is perfect. And wow, when I read the precepts of the Lord, I read how wonderful they are, and I read that I have a severe inability to follow. Will you realize that you're not kidding anyone? Will you realize you're not kidding yourself? And will you realize that you are certainly not kidding a good and holy God? Will you realize and humble yourself and say, yeah, the law of the Lord is perfect and good, and he was born under it. The law of the Lord is perfect and good, and he came as a baby to deal with this very problem we're talking about. He came as a baby to die under the curse of the law in our place as our substitute, and he came to rise again by sending his spirit out. And even though we celebrate and long have a longing in a sense for him coming as a baby, do we say this fulfiller of the law is coming back to judge the living and the dead? Are we going to humble ourselves before the living Christ? Christ came to be born under the law to forever change our relationship to the law. So the Spirit, this Christmas, let's serve in the new way of the Spirit, brothers and sisters. As you go from this place, go in the grace of the Lord, that undeserved favor. Go in his love and go in his spirit and consider the Christmas message and what that means that Jesus was born under the law and the love that's available to us by grace through faith. Amen.